What's up, y'all? It's your girl, XP.
And it's your girl, Dre Nicole.
And we have a very special announcement. Your girls will be at the Black Effect Network Podcast Festival.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be there April 27th. And make sure y'all get y'all tickets at blackeffect.com.
Yes, Horrible Decisions will be there, Carefully Reckless, Deeply Well, and many more. It's going to be so fun. So if you've never seen Poor Minds live, I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss this. So go to blackeffect.com and get your tickets.
Period.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lex P.
And it's your girl, Dre and Nicole.
And you are tuned in to another episode of Poor Minds,
where a drunk mind speaks sober thoughts.
We got a guest today. Y'all know every time I got a guest, like, I got a story and I'll be excited. Ooh. But I'm going to keep it cool today. But I will say, like, this started my little rebel era. Like, when I started, like, taking my edibles and, like, smoking, because my nigga used to listen to, like, Kush Orange Juice. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, I like to smoke. When I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But we got Wiz Khalifa in the building.
What's happening?
Yes, I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys for having me.
So, you know I got another story now. Let me tell you a story.
I'm happy to be a part of your rebel phase.
Yes, well, this is not my rebel phase. This is actually, like, you were going live on Twitter, I think. Yeah. And, like, you were like, oh, I want to go on a podcast and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I guess a lot of people in the comments was like, oh, go on Poor Minds.
Yeah.
Grand Lex.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, a lot of people started,
they,
like,
started sending, drink, this,
like,
to us.
Sending it to me. Yeah. So I was, like, in the middle of the club, like, drunk, having a good time. Okay. And somebody sent to me. I was like, what is he saying? Because I couldn't hear. I'm like, what is he saying? I'm like, why is everybody sending this to me? So I was like, went into the bathroom. And I just had a ball. I was in the bathroom screaming. I was like, Wiz Khalifa finna come on Poor Minds. Period. So we are happy to have you.
We are, yes.
Thank you. Y'all are bossed up. I appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you.
Yep, y'all are hella cool. Like, y'all are funny. And y'all, the way that y'all do y'all's content, I fuck with it heavy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Yes, it's definitely giving, like, we just like to sit on the couch, talk to people. Like, we family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what it should be. It should be like, you get a little bit of business done, but then you kind of, like, just get to know each other.
Yeah.
I like that. Hell, I agree.
So, now, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Were you just born in North Dakota, or are you from North Dakota?
Yeah, no, I was born in North Dakota.
Okay, and where were you raised at?
I was raised all over the world, really.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I'm from Pittsburgh.
Remember, I was like, where's North
she
Dakota?
She did say that, because, you know, we be liking to do our little research, yeah. And I was like, wait, he from North Dakota? Now, how the hell he end up there? Because ain't no black people there.
Nah, my parents was in the military. Uh-huh. So when they met, they were, you know, my mom is from Pittsburgh, my dad is from New York. Mm-hmm. So they met, and then they had me and my brother. I was born in North Dakota. My brother was born on Guam.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And from there, I moved around my whole life. I lived in Germany. I lived in Japan throughout the earlier years of my life. Mm-hmm. But then by the time I was a teenager is when I moved back to Pittsburgh, and that's where I grew up. That's where all my family's at.
Okay. That's where, like, your home base
is.
Okay.
So it's like, you're from there, but it's like, you're kind of from everywhere.
Yeah, I'm from everywhere. I'm from Atlanta when I'm here.
Yes. Period. Because,
baby, we was doing our research, and I was, like, trying to look up fun facts. Yeah. And I'm like, the fun facts, like, 10 fun facts about being from North Dakota, Teddy Roosevelt was one of them. And I was just like, okay.
I love North Dakota, but, like, that's not a part of who I am.
Yeah.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
At all.
Do you feel like moving around, like, when you were growing up, it kind of helped, like, you learn about a bunch of different cultures?
Yeah, for sure. I was always a little bit different than everybody in my crowd, but for sure just meeting different types of people. Mm-hmm. And not just black and white people, but Filipino people.
Yeah.
And German people and all types of ethnicities. It really, really brought in, you know, my ability to connect with people. But I always felt the most at home in Pittsburgh with my family. Mm-hmm. You know, Pittsburgh is definitely either black or white, and it's either you got money or you're super hood. Like,
right.
It is just what it is.
Right.
And that's where I thrive the most at. You know what I mean? That's where I really come from, and that's where my energy comes from. But just being able to connect and you know, find similarities with everybody was an advantage of growing up around the world.
That's dope. See, because I grew up in a small town, so when I was like, when I moved to Houston, I was big eyed. That's where you fuck up at.
Because
you were good, so you traveled around. So nothing really, like, when you got in the industry, I'm sure it wasn't like a shock to you.
Yeah, not really a shock, but it was always, for me, if I went down south, because I lived in Oklahoma before. I've been in South Carolina, nigga. I lived in Sumter, South Carolina. Like, that shit is country as hell.
I'm like, I don't even
know. I've never even heard of it before.
It's super country down there. But they always talk about how white I talk and shit. So, like,
really?
But the cool thing about living in different places was I always got put on a different music.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was down south, I got put on a Chopped and Screwed and all that shit.
Okay, you know a little something now.
Hell yeah. And it was when Lil Flip and like Chameleon Air and all them niggas was first coming up. It was before it was mainstream and shit. So I got to experience real waves, like just living in different places. So I really caught an advantage of when I was in the industry. I'm like, oh, I know this music. I know that music.
Mm-hmm.
I already listened to 3-6. I can rap like I'm in Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
Nigga, I got all Wu-Tang shit because that's, you know what I mean? So it really, really helped me out, like being in the industry for sure.
So I do want to ask you about that too. Like you saying like, oh, people tell you talk like you're white.
Cause,
I mean, I don't deal with it now because I'm grown and I feel like, I mean, I've been around
for a long time.
But I used to deal with that a lot because I went to an all white school growing up. So how did you like deal with that? Like people, you feeling like you didn't, did you feel like you didn't fit in with black people sometimes?
I love my niggas.
Right. Yeah. I get it.
Because you're always either gonna be too white for the homies or too black for the white people.
Yeah.
It's always one kid who's like that, and that was always me.
Uh-huh.
But it never made me like feel some type of way. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like when you grow up like that, you gotta know how. Like when we call cracking jokes ripping on niggas. Like you gotta have rips. Like if you talk a certain way, if you look a certain way, you wear glasses. It is what it is. Niggas is going to be on you.
Yeah.
So it really didn't make me feel some type of way. It just made my skin a little bit thicker and made me embrace who I am.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I talk with my accent everywhere I go. Or, nigga, when I'm in New Orleans, I could say the words that they say. Or
New
York, I could, you know what I mean? Like, everybody talk different. So it's like, for real, it's about just being able to blend in and communicate with the people who you're around.
Mm-hmm.
And I could talk however the fuck I want to talk, but I know what's going on, so.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Hell yeah. So it made me more confident, for real.
Right, because I was like, it seems like you kind of have the attitude, like, I don't give a fuck, like, I'm me. Like, and I think that's what was so influential about you, because you were, like, doing your own thing.
Being yourself.
Niggas really started, like, emulating you and your style and everything like that.
Yeah.
So you always kind of had that confidence.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I see you.
Now, we definitely kind of wanted to talk a little bit about your music career, too. So, like, how was it creating Black and Yellow? Because I feel like that was like your biggest, like, or your big mainstream song that made you really mainstream.
Sure.
So how was that?
It was cool. Like she was saying, I had done mixtapes like Kush and Nori.
Right.
And I had a lot of mixtapes, like Flight School, Star Power, even from Prince of the City days. My fans have been following me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like Black and Yellow was my time to show the world what I could do.
Right.
And at that point, I had done so many different types of songs. I had the weed music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had done Cabin Fever.
Yep.
I had done shit like The Thrill. So I was all over the place and just showing everybody the types of music that I could make.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to reach everybody in the world
because
that's how I am.
Mm-hmm.
So my music is to translate to freaking Africa or fucking Korea or wherever it's at. So when I made Black and Yellow, I just put all of the skills that I had. I put my mixtape skills. I put my songwriting skills.
Mm-hmm.
I put my listening to other producer skills together because, you know, being on Atlantic for the first time and shit like that, it's a little bit different coming from a mixtape and then start working with people at a label and to make them believe in you.
Right.
And that was my first time, you know, walking in a room and putting a joint out in a nigga salad and being like, yeah, nigga, this is Wiz. Like,
salad.
Yeah, I had to let them know who I was. And they agreed with it and they pushed it and the record went number one.
Right.
Because I wasn't afraid to, like, be myself and talk about my city, Pittsburgh, and talk about what was important to
me. Yeah.
So it was a really good moment, you know, just for me as a person and as an artist.
Like, did you say that song changed your career?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yeah.
100% changed my career. In ways that I knew it was going to be a great song, but I think it was a combination of the Steelers going to the Super Bowl that year. Mm-hmm. Everybody, all the eyes were on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, it was my time.
Yeah. When you were in the studio, like, recording, though, did you know, like, it was going to be that big? Like, did you have that feeling like, yeah, I just think this might
was
be
Was all
fun?
Your homies like, yeah, Black.
No, my homies was looking at me like, what the fuck? Like, why did you record this song, bro?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know what I was doing or why I was doing it.
Right.
But to me, I was emulating Snoop Dogg because when Snoop came out with Gin and Juice, he was showing niggas who the fuck he was.
Right.
It was like, nigga, this is me. And I wanted that song to be like that. Or like the Snoop Doggy Dogg song, like Snoop Doggy Dogg. I wanted that to be my moment like that. And that's why I did the video with me standing on top of the Dairy Mart. That's our corner store in our hood.
Okay.
And he did the same thing with him standing on the record store in Long Beach. I was like, this is my moment. Yeah. I'm here. You know what I mean? So it was definitely intentional, like from the song, from the video, all of that shit. I wanted that to be my moment, my standout, you know, record that when you say Wiz Khalifa, like that's the one that you think about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I want to go back a little bit though. Like,
cause let's talk about Taylor Gangs. So you had everybody. Like, man. Baby, I used to love.
My bad. I was putting them chucks on, period.
You could not tell me nothing. I had them hoes in every color. And they used to have them for cheap at Academy.
Taylor Gang. Like, you couldn't tell
you
us.
You couldn't tell me nothing. I used to think I was the freshest bitch out.
Hell yeah.
I'm fucking weak. I think that was like the era when everybody, we throwing up the peace sign. We showing our chucks. Like,
that
it
was sweat.
We was wearing
it
chucks.
It was definitely. Yes. Yeah. Because you have to realize, like, niggas was only wearing Jordans and shit. So it was like the time that people, like, really started changing up their swag for real. Because they seen you doing it.
Right.
And it was like, you made it cool. Because, like I said, if you didn't have them J's, you wasn't doing nothing.
Yeah. And it was like that with the Chucks for a minute, too.
Yes.
It was a good time because, like, it was, I'm like an alternative nigga. So it's like, I hang around pretty much all my family from Pittsburgh is street niggas, but I'm not like a real street nigga.
Right.
So I gave niggas an alternative to be like, I know what it's like to be around street niggas, but I'm not that nigga.
Right.
And a bunch of people just connected with it to be like, yo, I just want to get fresh. I just want to smoke weed. I want to be around girls. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It became a lifestyle. It's like, it's easier to do it like that.
And I do want to go back a little bit. Talk about the first time you smoked weed.
Yeah.
The very first time you got high, you was like...
First time I smoked weed.
Yes. Tell me about that experience the first time you smoked.
Damn. I don't even remember the first time I smoked. I remember when I first started getting stoned.
Okay.
I'll let you know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, when I was coming up, like, my mom smoked weed.
Uh-huh. For real?
Yeah. Do y'all's parents smoke weed?
No.
My
daddy used to back in the day. My mama used to tell me, but while I've been alive, I never seen him smoke weed. Yeah. No, and I got in trouble the one time they found the little doobie in my backseat.
Ooh, thought you was rolling it up.
Probably mad because you didn't give it to them.
Exactly. And I ain't see it. My daddy was like, I found it. Where it's at?
Yeah, he knew where it was. He was like, hold on, I know what that smell is.
So you said your mom used to smoke.
Yeah, my mom smoked weed openly.
Yeah.
House.
Okay.
Yeah, she was like, you know, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I seen her function off of pot and be able to, you know, take care of me and my sibling and go to work. And, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't as legal.
Right.
Back then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like she had her homegirls and they would do what they do. And that was their thing. So I was always around pot. But I never really experienced it until I started being in the studio and recording.
Mm.
And I was in high school, but I would get a work release from school to go to the studio. Like, that was like my job at the time.
I know that's right.
Yeah, hell yeah. So I was leaving school early to go to the studio and shit. And just being around the homies and shit, you know what I mean? They were always blazing, like just rolling up. And in Pittsburgh, we smoke heavy, like. Niggas, everybody got either an ounce or a quarter or a halfy or something.
Yeah.
Everybody got big weed to blow in Pittsburgh. So, like, me smoking like this is just representing the Berg because everybody smokes like this back. That's just how we smoke. And, so I just coming up around the homies and shit, and they was like, you know, Wiz, I know you young as hell, but, like, as soon as you start smoking, bro, your music is gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, nah, I don't need that shit. You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm this, I'm that.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started smoking, my music
it went crazy. It started
going crazy. And I don't wanna just blame it on the smoking, but the weed opened up
your mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listening to things differently, me writing things differently. I would watch movies different. And I would just, you know, my imagination was a little bit different. I was able to apply that shit totally different. And I found out, like, pot was my thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. See, pot not my thing.
Me either, because I'm not a functioning smoker.
You just gotta be in the right setting. If y'all smoke with me, y'all be perfectly fine.
You think so? Because every time I smoke, I either am laughing, like I cannot stop laughing.
You're supposed to laugh.
Or I fall asleep.
Yeah.
You're supposed to sleep.
Now, like I said, I smoke.
But I want to have a balance, though. Like, yeah. I want to still have fun. Like, the stories people tell me is
you can't smoke blunts.
Okay.
Okay.
No blunt.
No blunt.
Yeah, and then the second thing is you got to take like two puffs and you know what I'm saying?
That's why I smoke one weed.
Yeah. One weed.
The same weed. That's the third. That's like the professional advice right there.
Yeah.
Is find the weed that works.
You gotta find your strength.
But I tell people all the time, don't give me all that good. I don't want no good weed.
You don't want no blueberry. I don't want to be that high.
You need the good
Pass
weed.
Pass me the Reggie.
You need the good weed.
I want that bullshit.
All right, your body responds to that.
There we is. I'm not smoking that good shit.
But like you said, you should like one puff of the good shit, though, and you will be high.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Too high.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
I can't fuck with edibles, though. That's something I can't.
Oh,
fuck.
I love a little
You edible love now. Edibles. I cannot fuck with edibles. Like, the last time I took an edible, I seen a leprechaun.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds kind of fun.
I mean, I thought I did.
Now, see, this is
why. I probably didn't really see one, but that's what I saw.
That sounds fun. I'm trying to see some leprechauns.
Today. You're going to be scared. I'm scared.
Let's go see some leprechauns.
That's what I'm saying. He enjoys it.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
That would freak me out.
Nice. It was freaking me out for sure. I was about to cry.
Yeah. Remember that time I got high and I almost jumped out the car?
Oh, yes.
A time, though.
You did. But that wasn't off of edible, though. That was off of blunt.
That's why.
But he said, don't smoke blunt.
Ask me the bullshit.
She definitely almost jumped out of him. Well, no, you did jump out the car.
But I'm alive to tell the story. That's all that matters.
All right.
Okay, so before we get into the next question. You know what? The car was like barely moving.
It was, yeah.
Oh. I was kind of ghost riding the whip.
We was on a feeder road, so this sounds really awesome.
Like,
it was a good time. That's why
sounds
I'm
amazing.
Totally against.
You guys sound great to get high with.
Leprechauns
jumping out of moving vehicles. Let's get it.
Don't try that at home.
Don't try this at home.
Let's go.
Okay, so Todd, what are we drinking today?
All right, so today, of course, we're talking about smoking and high, all that stuff. This one is called the Up in Smoke, all right? Ooh. So what this one is going to include, we have a little tequila in there. We have some watermelon juice, some lime juice. We have it topped with a sparkling ginger lime, like carbonated sparkling water, and then topped with some sparkling rosé. And then we garnished it with a watermelon slice and some fresh mint leaves. And then we smoked it in here, some cherry apple wood smoke. And so now that is the Up in Smoke.
This is really good. I'm almost done. I need another one.
Yeah, you crushed yours.
I like that.
Drinking like a Capri Sun.
Let me tell you. That's what it tastes like. But that be the problem, because that's why her drinks be sneaking up
they
on
always
you.
Because
it tastes like
me.
A Capri Sun.
Yeah, let me get four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Ask you something real quick before we get into the topics, because it was literally like one day you were skinny and then I woke up and you was like swole as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had gained what I think it was, you said like 30 pounds
yeah.
of muscle,
yeah, yeah,
which is really, really hard to do. Like
impressive, yeah,
it's really hard. So, talk about what made you go into like your health journey and stuff.
Shit, I just honestly, I started going to the gym one day and I stuck with it.
Yeah,
I didn't think I was gonna get you know into fitness or anything, like
yeah.
that. And me being a skinny dude, like, that shit wasn't the wave. Like,
yeah.
being in the gym, like, you know what I mean? But yeah. I went to a really, really good gym called Unbreakable, and they put me on a good program, and they just supported me. And then the fighting aspect, like the MMA shit,
mm-hmm.
that's where I really took off at.
Yeah.
I'm really, really good at that. So it just kind of just put me in the thing where I wanted to learn more, do more, keep building my body, work on my diet, get some more sleep. And then out of nowhere, that shit just changed my whole
You was
body.
Ripped up now.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Was you making them videos on purpose? Because you know you be having them type of pants on. And
see, those, I didn't think that I was going to do all of that. No, I did. Because for me, like, you know, I'm a very free person.
Not I ain't know my
Clearly.
Meat. Yeah. I ain't know my meat was out.
I wasn't trying to show all of that, but and then when I started to figure out that that's what people were looking at,
you was like, well,
I kind of started teasing everybody a little bit. I did, nah, just a little bit, but yeah. Then I had to like wipe it all off and be like, all right, let's start clean.
Too much.
Let's start clean.
I knew it. You was kicking that leg a little too high.
That's how I really kick.
But I was impressed. Like,
oh,
I
yeah,
said,
me
like,
too. To working out, is, especially now Thank that we, because we're in the gym, like, heavy now. We started working out with our trainer, like, maybe, like, 7-8 months ago. Mm-hmm. And we go, like, 3 or 4 times a week. Yeah. And it's hard.
It's hard.
It takes a lot. Like, yeah, so.
I'm proud of it. So, like, I like to show it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we know you like to show it.
We've seen it.
We believe that now. But I will say, I think it's harder. Very proud. But I think it's harder to gain weight than to lose it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like you're really, really fighting genetics really hard.
Yeah, harder to gain muscle.
Yeah, it's harder to gain muscle.
Yeah, because you're going to gain weight if you eat bad and drink and do all of that shit. But yeah, gaining muscle is definitely hard for sure. And you just got to do, it has to be a strategic plan. Mm. Yeah.
It's real strategic. It takes a lot of work.
So, mm-hmm. So let me get a little messy real quick. My drink done hit me a little bit. Okay, so you have been in public relationships. You know, pretty, like, I feel like you're a relationship guy.
For sure.
I feel like you always have a girlfriend.
For sure.
Like, you're a lover boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you like, because I feel like you've dated all types of women. Do you like dating, like, a regular girl, like, who's not really known? Or do you kind of like dating women that are popular? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your tea?
It depends for me. It definitely works if the woman, like, understands where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be. You don't got to be famous.
Yeah.
You don't got to be, like, a millionaire or anything like that. I like people who I could like talk to, connect with,
yeah,
experience stuff with. And if it's a regular girl and she can handle the experiences that come in my life, then you know that's what I'm into.
When you say handle, does that mean like? Because a lot of times people be like, handle my lifestyle, aka I'm gonna be outside.
Nah, not that. Like, I mean, women are attracted to me, so that's a part of what I do. But that's not even what I'm selling.
Right.
That's real life. So if we walk in a room, you got to deal with 10 chicks who is like, oh, Wiz, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's going to happen for
sure. I mean, it be like that.
Maybe even more.
Oh,
and
damn.
You got to stand 10 toes and be like, yeah, I love that nigga too.
I love that nigga too. It's great.
Yeah, most women going to fold in that particular situation.
Right, right, right.
And then there's a lot that comes with it. There's a lot of, you know, confidence and reassurance,
mm-hmm,
conversations that have to be had. And, you know, some people, they don't make it through the deep water.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like for the average woman, like, if you're dating a regular woman, that might be intimidating to know, like, you know, your ex is Amber Rose or
100%,
something like that.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that? Because she's an amazing woman. People know, she literally came on the scene just for being fine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, that would be intimidating for somebody to come in.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do you navigate that?
We just have conversations.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I do just out of me being natural for my love for Amber. And that's my baby's mom. So mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to show her respect. And there's some women who, they'll take offense to that.
Yeah.
They'll want you to treat your baby's mom like shit, or they won't understand, like, the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, if it crosses the line to you, we just got to have that conversation, because those are never my intentions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think just keeping that clear, and then me and Amber, we're so solid that those lines aren't, you know what I mean, they're not blurry. So to somebody else, it might seem like hypothetically this could happen or that could happen. But we ain't even on that.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Because sometimes I do feel like if you're dealing with a man who has a baby, mama's like, if they want to go and get back together, they probably going to do that.
Nah, for sure. I mean, most men are like that. Most women are open to it. But I think we know how we're aware how good we are without that shit.
Right.
So it's not worth fucking that up for that. Like, you know what I mean? That's way more mature and way more bossed up to think about it, where it's like, you know, I'm going to be with her for the rest of my life because she's my child's mother, but we're not in a relationship. We're not physically doing anything.
Right.
But on every other aspect, we good to go. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's the vision. Like, you know what I mean?
For sure. And I think in those instances too, you have to make sure, you as a woman, you have to make sure that you're in a relationship or you dating a man who really don't want to be with his baby mama anymore or really don't have feelings for her anymore. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of women mess up, because you'll be dating this man and then you upset because he doing X, Y, and Z, or he moving a certain way, but he still like her. He's still in love with her. Or maybe she was the one who ended the relationship. Yeah. He didn't want to end it, and that's why he was forced to move on to you. And that's why you feeling the weird energy. Like, you got to make sure that he not lying about shit and that it really is what it is.
Exactly. And that's why I was saying, from my perspective, I have to keep clocking in to let you know, like, look, it's good. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not on that and explaining that shit, because without the communication, it could definitely get, you know, fucked up. And a woman's not wrong for feeling that.
Right.
It's definitely the man's job in that situation to keep everything cool and keep reassuring. And yeah, it might get annoying to have that conversation, but it's worth it.
Like, right. If you really love somebody.
Yeah, if you really love somebody, you really fuck with somebody, you want it to work. And me personally, I never see nobody make it work the way that I do. So I'd be like,
it is like, why I'd be like, it's cool to see, like, y'all.
I'm the player of the year. Like, that's real player shit.
Yeah.
Like, everybody get along. Everybody's at the same events. We could go out together. The family is cool. Like, it don't gotta be messy. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's really, really everybody's responsibility in that situation. I take a big role in that.
Right.
And I play my role. So.
And that's good. That's what I said before on an episode in the past. A lot of times it gets confusing when they're, like, still being physical with each other.
Yeah.
So obviously there's, like, going to be feelings there. Like, if you had a child with somebody and y'all are still having sex and stuff, that's when shit gets, you know, a little tricky. Yeah.
You gotta be bossed up. You got to think past that.
Yeah, it's bigger than that.
And maybe I'll reach that level of maturity one day, because I'm like, if I have a baby for somebody, I'm fucking on that nigga.
Forever?
For real?
Even if you, like, got a new man?
Probably. I don't know.
There's a lot of people.
I feel like if I move on from my baby daddy, like, once I have a kid, if I moved on from you, I've moved on. Maturity. Like, we just focused on co-parenting.
Amen.
I'm not, like, because if I've moved on, my new nigga dick better.
Sometimes. Maybe. Not guaranteed.
Well, why did you move on?
Why not?
No.
There's a lot of people in the world to love.
I mean, no. I'm not fucking with my baby daddy. It just be seeming like it's too much drama that come with that. Like, if you and your baby daddy still be dibbling and dabbling with
A little dibble dabble. You have a little appetizer before you eat. Damn, y'all. It's
I don't want that appetizer no more.
Okay, so we got
I'm off the menu.
You off the menu?
Late seasonal.
That's why I said Amber, you a better woman than me, sister.
Seasonal menu. I don't know, in the winter.
Okay.
It's a little cold outside.
No, I'm not coming. I'm not coming back.
We done pulled up the LA cream.
I'm not coming back.
The mistletoe.
We done moved on.
Damn, we done put little Bash to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely not.
All right.
Yeah, I'm one of them. Like,
you a strict baby daddy.
Yeah, nah, for real.
And I like that, because that's the type of nigga that make you feel secure. He a strict nigga.
Yeah.
Be strict.
Yeah, I was trying to catch him slipping. Okay, we're going to get into the first topic. Go ahead, Drea.
So for the first topic, and that's crazy because you kind of already brought your mom up a little bit, but we wanted to talk about, like, black men and the dynamic that they have with their mothers.
Okay.
Because sometimes I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were basically telling me, like, if they mom don't like somebody that they're dating, they'll stop dating her. Like, for no other reason but just that his mom doesn't like her. And so it just made me think about, I don't know if you've seen the movie Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, the Steve Harvey movie. It came out like 7-8 years ago.
I never seen that.
But Terrence J had a character on a movie, and, like, he started dating a new woman, and his mom just used to give the woman a hard time. And him and his mom had, like, a very close relationship. So it was like he needed the approval of his mom to, like, really take the woman seriously and stuff. And I've seen a lot of situations like that in real life. So I kind of just wanted to talk about that, because I think sometimes it's almost detrimental to the relationship between the woman and the man because of the relationship that he has with his mother.
Yeah.
So, like, how is the relationship with you and your mom?
My mom is my nigga. That's my dog. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I think in those situations, like, moms just have a way of working. They
yeah.
You know what I mean? They always win in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I give it to my mom because she grew so much, man.
Like, really?
She was not that mom, but I think that's typical of a mother to be protective.
Right.
And to know what's best for their child and mm-hmm. to try to guide them and to help them not make those mistakes.
Right.
And that's what I learned through my relationship with my mom is, like, when she was a little overbearing or anything like mm-hmm. that, it was just trying to help me not make mistakes.
Right.
But then she learned, like, this nigga gonna do whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
So I might as well be his friend.
Right.
And help and just be there when the nigga need me mm-hmm. rather than trying to dictate everything. And I think that's the dynamic between, like, black moms and their kids, where when you reach that point, you just get past all of that shit. Because when we're younger, I'm her baby. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
If
I'm
actually really need
Yeah, so it's like, if I'm crying, like, oh, what y'all do to my baby?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's still like that as a grown man. Like, anybody can get it.
Yeah.
So it's hard for her to turn that off.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, black moms, that you can't tell them to turn that off. You can't be like, yo, chill, mom, or relax, mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They learn to just trust and, you know what I mean, kind of go through your journey with you.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lex P.
And it's your girl, Drea Nicole.
And one thing me and Drea love to do is budget and save money. So we're going to tell y'all how RocketMoney.com is going to save you some money.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Yes, y'all, I love me some Rocket Money because I be forgetting about subscriptions that I have on my phone and money just be coming out of my account and I be forgetting about it. So what I love about Rocket Money is that all you have to do is with a tap can cancel everything.
Yes, and you know they make it hard to cancel subscriptions now.
Yeah.
You can't find the little button. You can't find this, find that.
Or they want you to call customer service.
Yeah.
And now you ain't even got to worry about being on the phone with customer service for an hour just to cancel a $19.99 app.
Yeah, Rocket Money going to handle all mm-hmm. of that stuff for you. It can save you up to $720 per year. A lot mm-hmm. of people be saving a lot of money. So what you're going to do is go to rocketmoney.com/poorminds. That's rocketmoney.com/poorminds and cancel those unwanted subscriptions.
Period.
Stop wasting your money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/poorminds. That's rocketmoney.com/poorminds. rocketmoney.com/poorminds. But do you have the type of mom that's like, she don't make you hold accountability for your actions? Because sometimes you have the mom.
Like, she gonna have your side no matter what.
She gonna have your side no matter what. And you know your son doing wrong. You know he's doing some messed up stuff. And you still be like,
that's bullshit. My mom be trying to get everybody on her team against me.
Okay, really? Okay.
Yeah. She be like, he's an asshole. But I'm her baby, though.
Right,
like, you
right.
know what I'm saying?
But she don't mind telling you about yourself.
Oh, hell no. Nah.
Okay.
She gonna make sure she tell me about myself. And she's gonna make sure that she just do the best.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And it's not really about what I want or what I want to make sure. It's like she knows what she got in mind and she knows what's best.
Right.
So if it takes her saying some shit or doing some shit, it is what it is. Like, I think that's where I got my outspokenness from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is like just being able to confidently, you know, tell somebody when they're right or wrong.
Right.
And me and my mom, we definitely have those difficult conversations.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But that's why I say she's my nigga, because we could talk about that shit and it won't really like
affect the relationship.
Affect anything. Yeah.
So do you date somebody like, because I know she's probably, you probably dated somebody that she didn't like.
For sure.
So how did you navigate that? Was it like, okay, I can't really date you because my mom don't like you? Or was it just kind of like, mama, I'm going to do what I want to do?
For me, it was difficult because it was like, I was in my
20s. Yeah.
And when you're in your 20s, how old are y'all?
34.
I'm 32.
Yeah, I'm 36. I'll be 37 this year. So when y'all know, when you're in your 20s, you feel like you know shit that you did not know.
Facts.
So a lot of the things that I was like combating with her,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it was just me being in my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like me knowing what I know now, like we would have been able to get through that shit smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like anything that was difficult, whether it was like in the relationship with the woman I was with or her, I don't think I was capable of navigating that shit in my 20s.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So now that you're about to be 37, do you still, does she still like give you advice when you're dating or when you bring somebody home? Because you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like when you met her, when she met your mom. Mm-hmm. How was that? Like, did they get along, or was she kind of like iffy at first?
My mom is the type, she's gonna put you through like all of the tests.
Yeah.
And she's gonna like see how you take care of me. She's mm-hmm. gonna see if you could clean. She's gonna see if you can cook. She's gonna talk about your food.
Gonna, oh, you gotta cook for her?
I mean, she just gonna make sure that you're cooking for me.
Yeah. Oh no, it's everybody's strict. Being strict hereditary over there.
She's he got gonna, it honestly.
Yeah, sheesh.
She's gonna talk about, you know, she's gonna make sure that you're taking care of me. And if you ain't taking care of me, yeah, you ain't taking care of me the right way. She's gonna be like, before, she would just dog you and that would be that. But now she kind of nurtures you.
Yeah.
Helps you get through it. Like, come on, baby. Like, you know.
Not you gotta go through training.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, but some girls we need.
I mean, you right. Yeah. I mean, it's coming from a woman. So it's genuine. It's not a man trying to tell you.
Right, right.
And it's from somebody who took care of me already.
Right, right.
So she know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look, nigga, that's how you take care of that nigga.
I know, that's right. She gotta clock in.
I think it's positives and negatives, though, because I definitely think that's a positive aspect of it. Like, I always have said, I want to be with a man that has a really good relationship with his mother, mm-hmm. because I feel like the way a man treats his mother is a good indication of how he's going to treat you.
Right. Yeah,
but then sometimes, like, in instances where, like, guys grew up with, like, single moms, mm-hmm. I think they almost kind of have this like allegiance to their mom,
yeah,
like to where it becomes like an unhealthy thing because it's like you have to get her approval for everything because it was just y'all two growing up.
It's right there, it's
and
there.
You know, a lot of the time that like you're all she had.
Yeah, I've been paying bills in my house since I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mom ain't worked since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I graduated in 06.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, my mom ain't have to work.
So do you ever feel like that's sometimes maybe what can affect the parent not liking the new woman coming into the situation?
That is going to, like, threaten that?
Affect, yeah. like, the relationship that y'all
I think
have.
It's more the loyalty on our end.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the first person that we know how to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's like, we could get another girl. I can't get another mom.
That's, yeah.
Straight up.
That's lit. Yeah, that she hasn't worked since 2008?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
My mama gave birth to some bullshit.
Girl,
she was working. She was motherfucking working. Okay.
She said,
okay. I told her it's that drink. It's that up in smoke. Sheesh. But no, I agree with Dre. I do think it's like, and that could be like a bonding thing.
Yeah, and two, like, even from my perspective, I could tell when a woman, when her daddy a real nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I like that. Like, yeah. I like a woman who knows how to deal with a solid nigga. You mm-hmm. can tell if she was raised or if she got some brothers or something like that.
Yeah.
But she ain't no punk ass, like, you know what I mean? Little female. Like, she know how to talk to a nigga. She know right. how to treat a nigga.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, your daddy a real nigga. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's a green flag for sure.
You definitely know for sure. Cause I definitely have had guys that I've dated tell me, like, I know you and your dad had a tight relationship.
Oh, for sure. You could tell. You could tell just by how you carry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your daddy a real nigga.
That's true.
Yeah. And I think that's why the family dynamic is very, very important. And we need to get back to that. Even if you're like co-parenting and stuff, like, it's good to have your child seeing, you know, their parents getting along and having a healthy relationship.
100%.
Like, that's very, very important to me, I think. You know,
I think so too.
You're right.
Because, you know, kids, I feel like a lot of times too, we say this all the time, it's better to be apart than together. If y'all are arguing all the time, that's not a good environment for them to be in. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. But, you know, I have always talked about, too, I've seen the other side of, like, your mama not liking your girl. And, like, with my parents, it worked out. My mama beat my granny up, and they stayed together.
Not true love.
But in my mama defense, though, my granny swung first.
They're there.
I like your family.
It gets crazy.
My
over
granny
there.
Swung first. Mama was like, I
come over there for Thanksgiving.
Oh my God. When I tell you, Dreya has the craziest like family tree ever.
Yeah, I do.
It's so crazy. Okay, but we gonna switch gears for a second too. So, I want wanted to, because we talked about this a little bit earlier as far as like having a type, you know, dating a woman in the industry versus mm-hmm. dating a regular person. But I wanted to talk about having a type, mm-hmm. period. Because I know people, they talk about you a lot and your type. They do.
Okay.
They be like, Wiz got a certain type. He likes a certain type of woman that look like XYZ. Right?
Like what?
They always say like you tend to like petite, light-skinned girls or something.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Which I don't think is a problem because I feel like when I say I like dark-skinned men, nobody got, when women say that in general, oh, like, right. Oh, I like tall, dark skin men. It's not it an like issue.
That. A preference is a preference.
A preference is, I yeah. think that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I be like, I want my nigga to have a full hairline. Mm-hmm. If no shit receding, I'm receding.
I want my nigga to have a side tooth. I get it.
Yes. So I want to talk about having a type. Now, do you have a type? You ain't got the lottery.
I'm trying to think about what my type would be if I was to, like, narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I have a type. I think I just like real pretty women. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the color. It don't matter if you're tall, if you're short. I definitely like if more like, I don't know if it would be considered like taller features.
Mm-hmm.
Because even some shorter girls, they have like long necks or like, you know.
Not
like,
a long neck.
But I'm a tall dude. So
wild.
A long
neck is crazy. Oh, her neck nice.
Yeah, I look at shit like that. I look at all that.
Uh-huh.
I like really pretty women. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the silhouette or, you know, and then it's the personality as well.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up dating all types of women and I get love from all types of women.
Yeah.
I never really dated any white girls because I'm like...
Really?
Yeah, nah, hell nah.
Because the niggas ain't got no chance.
It's not that they don't have a chance. It's like, I'm a real nigga, so
yeah,
it only goes but so far. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You get some points for that,
yeah, Wiz. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It only goes but so far.
Okay.
But, yeah, pretty much, like, all of the women that I dated, like, we just got to be able to laugh. Like,
yeah.
We have mm-hmm. conversation. We watch the same movies. We listen to the same music. Or you could not even know the shit that I know and I put you on. But it doesn't matter about color. Like, I love black women.
Mm-hmm.
I dated a lot of black women. Just by based off of the way that I talk and the way that I act,
mm-hmm.
I always got teased when I was growing up because it's like, you know, niggas is playing basketball, niggas is selling dope, and I don't look like that and I don't talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that never made me have no complex or nothing like that.
Right.
It just made me learn how to talk to black women, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
But that's a good point, too, because I feel like a lot of times when guys are like, especially black men, when they're nerds or whatever, yeah. they're not into things, they're like, well, I don't talk to black women because they don't like me.
Nah, it's not like that. I don't feel like they like me or dislike me. It's mm-hmm. people choose what they want to choose.
Right.
And I'm a lot. I'm really complex. So it might take you your whole life to realize you like a nigga like me. That's mm-hmm. cool. In high school, you teased me. It is what it is. I like rough chicks. I like chicks who talk shit. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't want no punk ass chick.
Right.
So, like, I don't run away from that. You know what I mean? I like a little back and forth. You know what I mean? That shit fun.
Oh, that makes sense.
That shit fun sometimes.
It is. That definitely is fun. I be feeling like it's bullshit, though, when people say, like, oh, this person don't like me.
Yeah.
You just going after people that don't like you.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like you liking bitches that don't like you, and that's the problem.
I feel like everybody want me.
I know that's right.
But,
same. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
It's where like, have you been?
Nah, for real. It don't matter. It could be an old lady. I feel like she want me.
Yeah.
Not the old lady.
Yeah, nah, for real.
But I mean,
and
I
she can
get that
some,
though.
Too.
Because even if you're not on the either.
Not you be at the nursing home cutting up.
Old ladies love me.
But I do
let me find
feel like...
carry that KY in your body.
But I do feel like, too, it's kind of like when I see somebody or, like, if I'm talking to somebody, they be like, oh, girl, or if you bring up a nigga to somebody.
Right.
I know this is probably happening. You be like, oh, girl, he don't like black girls. I don't know what you talking about.
Yeah.
I like you.
No, I agree.
You know, I've never been that type of person to where me it's either. Like, oh, or if you tell me the women that you used to date and none of them look like me, like, that don't bother me. Mm-hmm. Like, because sometimes you meet somebody and y'all just hit it off and you may not be their type physically, what they traditionally date.
Yeah.
But I think dating people goes beyond, you know, the physical, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like sometimes you date people and it's like they can be fine, look attractive, but... it may not be your type, but you enjoy that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Because types are just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, types are cool. You know what I mean? Of course, you want to be with somebody who's physically attractive.
Right.
And you don't want to, like, let that have to grow on you. But some people do. You know what I mean? I'm not that type of person. You got to look...
fine from the... You can't, you, so you wouldn't be like, okay, you know, her personality makes her pretty.
We could be friends.
Yeah.
But I think men are more wired that way. Like, y'all have to have the physical attraction. Like, y'all have to be attracted to the woman that y'all date. And it's the same thing with women, though. A woman don't want to be with a man that can't provide.
And it's, exactly.
Oh.
And it's,
I mean, I thought you was going to say something else. I thought I was going to say ugly. I was about to say.
Women date ugly niggas, ugly rich niggas all the time.
It's whatever you're into. Like, I like weird looking chicks sometimes. You could be like a six with personality. Mm. I'd be like, fuck it. You could have a gap. You can have freckles, like, mm-hmm. fuck it. Like, I like that shit.
Sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like unique-looking people. It doesn't have to be the typical prettiest person. Because I didn't always get the popular girl or the pretty mm-hmm. girl. You know what I mean? Well, I did, but it wasn't what I was trying to do all the time.
Right. It was like an accident.
Yeah. I mean, they always come around. But at the end of the day, it's whatever you're into. Some girls think that they're supposed to... Like the most, you know, physically attractive nigga. Some girls like a little pudgy nigga. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? They're like a little, you know.
A little buzz. A little buzz.
And I grew up skinny, so it was like, you know, some girls like skinny niggas. They might mm-hmm. want to be seen with a buff nigga.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's what looks good or
Not
looks
right. Behind closed doors knocking them down.
I mean, you know.
But I do feel like if I'm a six and you feel like, which I'm not talking about me because can't relate. But right. If you're a six with a nice personality, I don't want to know that you think I'm a six.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I wouldn't want a nigga to be like, oh, I mean, you a six, but you a
like,
dude.
I can work with that.
If I'm kind of ugly, I
want to
know.
I don't want to know.
I
want to
know.
But you know what?
I want to know that you fuck with me because I'm a little ugly.
No.
Like,
no.
Just let it be known.
I think people know. Why would you confirm me?
Right.
Confirming it is fucked up.
That's what I'm saying. But you know what? I do.
We should be able to have that conversation.
Mm-mm. But you know. If you ugly, you know.
I should be able to say we shouldn't be tap dancing around it.
But I feel like if my man is ugly, he would never know. Because I'm making him feel like the finest thing in the world.
No, he knows.
Nah, because he's going to know you trying to play him by calling him fine.
My ex, the thick one. I used to make him feel like he was fucking Idris.
You just called him thick?
He was thick as fuck.
Did you ever call him thick to him?
Not to his face. But when thick would come on by thick. When it would come on, I would side-eye him and see if he was twerking.
That should have been y'all's jam.
It was.
My jam.
But I don't start shaking that little leg. But, like, I just feel like... I think he knew he was ugly.
I swear to God, he didn't.
I think people be lying and you be believing them. Because, like, he knew. Ain't no way he didn't know. It's no way, y'all. I'm silly, y'all.
He had to know.
The way I'm explaining it to you, now you know, so he had to know. Trust me, he knew.
But I feel like even if you do know, I'm not going to make you feel that way because in my eyes, you really not ugly to me.
Yeah.
I don't need nobody to else you. To find my... To me, you fine as hell. You my nigga. I love you, boo.
Unfortunately, it's billions of people in the world like you in person.
But you would want to know if somebody doesn't find you that attractive, but they like you. And they fuck with you, but they're like, you're all right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But what if they, would you keep fucking with them? That's the real question. After they told you that, would you keep talking to them?
Yeah, I'd be like, my bitch don't even like cute niggas. Pretty ass nigga. She want an ugly nigga.
That is crazy.
Not even fit it into a compliment.
You know what I mean?
I am so weak.
I am weak.
Dre, have you ever like told a man he was unattractive though? Because you done dated some ugly niggas.
That's why I thought she was about to ask me, have I dated an ugly nigga? I was like, bitch, you know the answer to that. No, I've never told a nigga he was ugly. I just feel like that's so hard.
That's so
you
hard.
You probably told him when you got mad.
But I'm going to tell you why I never told a nigga he was ugly. Because I know you know. You nigga, you know you ugly.
Oh
I don't
got
to say that to you. There's so many other things I could say in an argument.
Have you ever told a woman that you liked her, but she was like, you ain't that bad, but I love you.
You like, ain't even that bad. You ain't never said it.
Nah, I don't even think you ain't even that bad is like the way to say it. I think it's like a cooler way to say it.
Like what?
Like how would you say that though?
Like you look a little weird sometimes. But I love you.
Oh my God.
I ain't gonna lie, that would hurt a little more. I'd be like,
you.
Why?
You ain't never gonna see me again.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I'm not talking to you no more.
I love your little weird ass.
No. See, and that's my problem. Like, I think I'm the baddest thing walking. So if a man tells me anything, if you feel anything outside of that, it's really? Not gonna work. Yeah. Like, I need you to be like can't keep your hands off of me. Like, that's the type of men I like today. Like,
yeah.
You cannot keep your hands off of me. If you think I'm a little weird looking, I'm going to hit an angle. You're going to be like,
That's you real love right there, because I'm still going to fuck with you, and I'm still going to treat you like, you know, whatever the baddest standard is. You just not that.
You're acting.
That's not acting. That's me being happy with what I chose.
Like,
because I'm choosing to be with you.
Bad. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, why would I be upset with what I chose?
It was my decision.
Yeah, I'm not.
That I'm with your weird ass.
You know what I mean? I choose it every day.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not telling somebody that they I'm letting
you would never tell somebody they ugly?
No, I would never tell my man he ugly. I mean, my man now not ugly, but I would, even if I did think he was ugly, y'all, I could be lying right now. Y'all don't know.
You never told a nigga you lucky.
I tell every nigga they lucky.
That's basically you're ugly.
The fuck? What? What's basically you're ugly?
You lucky.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. That's why I ask.
No, it's not, because a fine nigga is still lucky. Like, have you seen me?
But you're not going to tell a fine nigga that.
Yes, I would. You remember my ex? The one I dated last year? Fine as hell. Beautiful man. That nigga lucky as fuck. You walking around with me? Never seen a nigga badder than me. Well.
A nigga?
Some niggas be bad. Boris Cujo was a baddie. That's a bad nigga. Idris Elba, that's a
baddie. That's a baddie.
Sometimes niggas be like, niggas, that's a badass nigga.
Niggas be,
I niggas be knowing they bad.
I guess you can be a bad nigga.
I done seen you dress up before and you was like, I know, like.
You was like, that's a baddie.
That's what I'm saying.
One of them ones.
He one of the baddies.
He's a Wizzy the baddie.
Yeah, I got that thing where when I walk in, you just feel me.
Right. Baddie.
It's a lot of people who don't even know, but when they see me, they be like, God damn.
Yeah.
That's baddie behavior.
For sure, 100%. I'm one of them ones. But I be chilling, you know what I mean? I just, I like to do mine in person.
I like to pull up.
You play the long game with women. Yeah. Like, you, if like a girl meets you and she necessarily don't like you like that, but you like her, you be like, all right, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Like, it may not be today, tomorrow. It could be 3 years from now, but I'm going to get your ass.
I feel like as soon as I start talking to women, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
And then for me, I don't like to rush it. So I could be your friend for fucking years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All of that crazy shit.
See, that's why I don't like that.
What?
Because patient niggas are dangerous.
What you mean?
They are.
Because a patient
and
man.
And a nigga with a mouthpiece, too. Because your mouthpiece can make you even more attractive. Like, even if a nigga is like a six, his mouthpiece can make him like a nine easily. 100%.
Every time. And a patient man. He gonna be patient. Then you finally get him a chance, and then that nigga gonna throw you for a whirlwind.
Yep.
Every time. That's why. Ooh, Lord.
Oh, you mean like they be waiting on their moment?
Yeah, like if he try to holler at you, and you know he like you, but you like really ain't paying him no mind. One day you might be like, you know what? Let me just see what he's talking about. Like, you know, he been consistent texting me every now and then, checking up on me. I know he want me, and then you end up, you know, going on a date, and you like, damn, this nigga actually cool. 3 months later, you at this nigga doorstep crying.
Oh, you saying they be flipping the script.
They flip the script every time.
Oh, okay.
Not every time.
They ready to break you down.
Not every time. I always have good intentions.
Look at that smile. He's talking about always have good intentions.
It's always good. I'm fine.
I see right through that. Okay, but let me ask you a question before we get to the bed. I do got a little quick question.
All right.
Do you get mad when, like, a woman that you have met or maybe a woman you have relations with, like, she sees like you on a blog or sees something about you somewhere and she's like in the comments calling you by your real name? Like, oh my God, Wistifer, you so cool.
Wistifer. My name's Cameron.
I know that. Cameron.
I think Wistifer is it now.
Well, I'm saying like,
that's kind of cute, like, low key.
Wistifer, you so crazy. Like, does that like bother you? Like, if you see that in the comments, like them trying to call you by your first name, your
real name? I like my real name.
Yeah. So you like that? You be like, "Ha, girl, quit playing."
Call me Cam.
Oh no, that's right. See, he is nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble.
What if somebody called you Tierra in the comments?
They do.
But you always be like, "You
don't call me that whole ass nigga."
She be getting mad.
I do get mad because it's kind of like, you know what, with Carisha, because like Carisha, please.
Yeah.
And she kind of just had to go with it. Y'all not doing that to me.
Mm.
Y'all is not doing that to me. I don't, not that I don't like it, but I feel like that's what my family calls me.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that like people who really knew me know. And I feel like that it's what helps me, like, not helps me, but it's like this lifestyle of being in the public and then having a private life, I feel like that's what helps me separate stuff too.
You know, you want to be one thing at work and you want to be
yes, like when somebody comments and says, oh my God, Tierra, I'm so proud of you, I'm like, man, this is somebody from Orange. And then I go to that page, I'm like, man, this is my friend from third grade. You know what I'm saying? So it's more of like, it's a little more personal for me. You know what I'm saying? Versus, you know, somebody like, oh my God, Wistifer, they trying to get some dick.
You think so?
If they calling you Wistifer, like, they want that thing. They seen you kickboxing, lifting that leg.
They might like my workout video.
I know that's right.
Inspired them to get up and get to the gym.
You be cutting up, Wistifer.
Oh, for real.
So now it's time to get into
the bed.
Bow. So go ahead, Drea.
Okay, so for the bed topic this week, we want to play a little game. A little game called This or That.
All right.
So we want to see which one you prefer. We're going to ask you a couple questions.
All right, for sure.
So, ass or titties?
Ass.
Ass, why?
I think, like, the way that it's, when it, the shape, you know?
Okay.
If it just stops here, instead of going down there just a little bit, and it don't got to be, like, a real big ass. It's got to be
a nice shape.
Shape, tone. Real or fake, but I'm definitely more.
Not you don't discriminate.
Yeah. I'm more into ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel you on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Giving head or receiving head?
I'm a receiver.
I figured that. That makes sense.
Yeah, I like to catch minds.
Lights on or off?
On.
I like the lights.
He answered that quick.
Yeah, I like the on.
I like daytime sex.
I'm a nighttime person. I want the lights on, but I feel like it's more romantic. Y'all know I'm old. I like to make sweet, sweet love.
It's romantic.
Even like a little candle or something.
You know? I mean, I like the lights on, but I like
to set it off.
I'm finna put this moo moo on and seduce your ass. I got that moo moo pussy. That's that old auntie pussy.
Yeah, well, lights on.
Okay.
I want to see the moo moo.
Me too.
Okay.
I like the moo moo.
Yeah.
Okay. In the bedroom or out of the bedroom?
Both.
What's the craziest place you had sex?
Let me think. I got to think hard.
Like at an award show, y'all snuck into the bathroom or at a party or something?
See, I don't want to give away anybody's business, so.
Okay.
Just, you know.
It's been some times. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Planned or spontaneous?
I think there's, I don't want to be boring, but there's like good to both. You know what I'm saying? Because when you plan it, you got that anticipation. Like you might be in the club. You might have to like tell her like, look, when we get out of here, it's fucking going down.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Or it could be spontaneous. Like y'all could be like fucking, you know, at like a, you know, like you said, a little function or a party. I might blend off to a bathroom somewhere. Cracking, like, you know what I mean?
I like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like with planned sex, too, like, I like that as far as, like, oh, when we get home or, oh, when I get back in town.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Like,
I don't,
setting the mood.
Yeah, set the mood. Yeah, I don't want it to be like, yeah, when I get home, make sure you X, Y, Z. Like, no, make sure I'm warmed up and ready.
Yeah, no, it's like, look, you ready? Like, because when I'm coming in, I'm coming home.
I know
right.
that,
bro. Sometimes plans can get boring because I feel like, you know, you hear stories about couples where it's like they've been together for X amount of time and then it's like, okay, we're going to have sex on Wednesday night at 6:30 every week.
Yeah,
I don't want it like that.
You still got to, y'all still got to be like dating each other. Like you go out, have a nice night, get a little tipsy or, you know, watch a movie, end up in a jacuzzi. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You be setting the vibe.
I do.
I know that's right.
I'm one of them.
Okay. Sativa or indica?
There's no difference like between sativa or indica.
I didn't know that. Yeah. You learned me
something.
You
gotta school us. We be thinking it's the difference.
So is there like a certain weed you like to smoke before you?
Well, weed in general, like when you smoke pot, that shit, it definitely like boosts it. A little two puffs in the morning might send you right back to bed.
I know that's right.
Yeah, I think my kush is the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like that. So do you have to, does your partner have to smoke? Like what, can you date somebody that doesn't smoke?
I usually end up getting them to smoke.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if they don't smoke, they end up trying it.
End up kind of like.
Oh yeah, they like it. They love it.
No doubt. Clothes. Okay. Oh, go ahead.
So clothes are fully naked. Like, do you like to pull it to the side, or you just got to take them off?
I like to pull it to the side because I like the sneaky. You know what I mean? A little sneaky freak. It feels dangerous, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you're not supposed to be doing this. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But I like clothes off sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. Get out the shower, you know what I mean? Nice and clean. Put that oil on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I want that all over me.
You be looking in the mirror at yourself?
Who, me?
You give
hell up. Hell yeah.
I knew it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I know you be looking in the mirror.
Hell yeah.
I know 100%. That's right.
Flexing.
Are you a cold or naked person, Dre?
Am I a clothes or naked person?
Yeah.
I like both. I think it just depends. Like, because sometimes it's like, you know, I done had sex in places I wasn't supposed to be having it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, obviously, then you just got to pull it to the side.
I know,
but then I agree. Like, when you at home and you just get out the shower and you all oiled up and you put your perfume on, you know?
Yeah, that's a vibe.
A big, big vibe. Okay. Vanilla or freaky sex?
Freaky sex.
Freaky sex?
Yeah. Not too freaky, though.
Yeah, that's how I like vanilla sex. I'm very, like, I don't need all that extra stuff. Mm-hmm. I like
it. I don't be doing, like, the toys and all of that shit.
Okay.
But definitely, like, I would say passionate.
Okay.
Yeah, not vanilla, but passionate.
Right.
Like, kissing, fucking biting, scratching, rolling around. We getting to it.
Whistopher.
Yeah,
yep. Oh, no, that's all right.
Yeah, yep.
Dre, are you a vanilla? You give me sometimes. And I think it depends what mood you in.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of both. But I feel like, what do you consider freaky, though? Like, what's too freaky for y'all?
I think when you start using tools, it depends on who you're talking to. Because some people that, like, shout out to Horrible Decisions. Like, the stuff that they do,
that's too freaky for you.
It's too freaky for me.
I agree.
And the stuff that they be calling vanilla, I'm like, this is really, really freaky.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing, like, no orgy parties. Mm-hmm. I went to a sex resort before. I'm not doing that again. It's not really something that, you know, sparked
tickles
my...
your fans.
It did not tickle my cootie cat not one time. I was watching, but I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Clutching my pearls. But I like to use toys in the bedroom.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't know if that's considered freaky. It may be considered freaky to some people.
Right.
It may be vanilla to some people. But I think toys is kind of like...
I think toys are a little freaky.
Yeah,
especially,
but that's where...
like the freaky nigga using it.
Yeah.
If the nigga wants to use it, he's
right.
Freak.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Like, if he introduced it. Yeah. Or are you saying if he just okay with
If he introduces it, just from a nigga perspective, that's a freak.
Not going to lie.
But if shorty want to get down, like, all right, cool. I'm not
going to,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. Like, I'm not.
I'm not going to lie. I had a nigga, like, pull out a toy one time. I'm like, you is a freaky ass nigga.
Yeah, that's wild.
You was a freaky frog.
Did you keep fucking with him?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Did he have, like, a drawer?
And it wasn't a drawer, but he definitely had things. Like, I think I talked about this. He, like, tied me up. He had the whole contraption. Uh-huh. Like, I was tied up. He blindfolded. It was...
She over there talking about...
Like that. But, yeah, it was definitely... But as we started dating and get to know each other, I realized, like, you are a freaky nigga. But he never took it too far. Like, it was always things I was comfortable with. But he would definitely be trying to, like, push it. You know
what
I'm saying?
What's too freaky for you, though, Wiz? Because, like, what if you went to a girl house and she had a sex room?
I'm with that.
You with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with the sex room. Because that's, like, I mean, too freaky for me is not normal.
Yeah.
Like, what? Give me an example.
Like, I think... Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let you go. Go ahead.
Not normal. Well, there is no not normal these days.
Yeah.
I ain't even going to lie. There's everybody. Yeah. Everybody does everything. Mm-hmm.
I feel like something like not normal to me is like we talked about before, like sometimes fetishes can get a little weird. Like, I'm not dressing up in no diaper, or I'm not dressing up in no animal outfit. Like, I'm not doing all something, like, weird. Like, I'll do some role play. Mm-hmm. Like, we act like we don't know each other, or we just met in a bar. Like, I'll do something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not dressing up as, like, no character or doing something weird. Like, I seen a lady tell a story one time where she was, like, she was dating a white man. And he was like, I want to pretend like I'm the slave master.
Damn.
Okay, I don't like no whips and chains, and you can't not. That's what it was giving.
That's a little too real for me, though. That's like, that's a little too real.
But I'm saying, that's what somebody...
You want me to be a slave?
That's what I'm saying. like stuff like that is when it got on like
too
that.
Freaky. Cause we ain't that far removed from that if you really think about it. It only been like 100 years. Oh, I don't like that shit. Yeah. Absolutely not. But you wouldn't put on a little cat outfit and be like, and like lick your paw.
That's not too freaky. That's kind of.
I think that's kind of, you know.
I give you a little, bowl of milk.
Yeah. A bowl of milk.
Put a little crawler on.
No, yeah. I'm not. You wouldn't.
What if it was a bowl?
I'm starting to feel like we might not be as vanilla as we thought we were.
No, we yeah, you're right.
Now she said if it was a bowl of Tito's.
A bowl of Tito's though.
I might get on all fours for that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So we got one more. Music or no music?
Music.
Okay.
You listen to yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, that's right. When this song come on, I'm spending money. Yeah.
Well, I got to test it out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I got to give it
set the vibe. Yeah.
I got to give it the bedroom test. Like, can you fuck to this? Mm-hmm. You can smoke to it. You can ride to it. Can you fuck to it?
Mm-hmm. That's the vibe, though. Yeah, I feel like people in their 30s, every time we talk to have guests in their 30s, mm-hmm. they always say music. When we have the younger guests, they be like,
they
no.
Be like, nah.
That is so weird. Like, the younger generations do not like having sex to music.
They be trying to get right to it.
It is weird.
That's because they don't have music to have sex to.
Right.
Nah, that's fair.
We grew up on hella shit to, you know what I mean? Like, when you listen to it, you was like, yeah, this is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Time to knock some boobs.
Exactly. They don't really have that. They ain't experienced that. They ain't put them two and two together.
Yeah.
Poor them.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them. I had just tweeted about this earlier. Like, Burna Boy had a concert out here in Atlanta not that long ago, mm-hmm. and he brought Toni Braxton out, and the kids was not screaming loud mm-hmm. enough
they
for me.
They wasn't.
Like, y'all not know who Toni is.
She bad as hell, too.
Right.
Beautiful. She looked good. Yeah, she looked really good.
And they just was not screaming loud enough for me. I'm like, but the kids don't be knowing. They don't mm-mm. be knowing who people are. Mm-mm. We knew. We grew up knowing who Marvin Gaye was.
Yeah, we were made to. Yeah. Hell yeah.
We knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even still listening to that shit now, like just smoking weed, vibing, listening to some good ass music, like that really leads to a lot.
It does. Yeah. But I also think like people don't know how to just chill and vibe either. Mm-hmm. Like you don't, if I'm chilling with my nigga, we necessarily don't have to be having a full blown conversation. Like sometimes we can just be sitting on the couch chilling.
Yeah, for sure.
Like just vibing and enjoying each other's company. Like we don't be having to have a full blown conversation. Mm-hmm. You know,
I value that a lot. Like I like to. If I'm with somebody or if I'm dating somebody, we gotta have fun. Like mm-hmm. it's not just about pulling up and fucking. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean, we're gonna go bowling, we're gonna play pool, we're gonna go to the movies, we're gonna, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna teach me some shit that you like.
Right.
And I feel like that's way better of a connection. Cause even if you don't end up with that person, you're gonna learn from that person, and whatever you take from that is just gonna make you better in life.
Right.
And your expectations is gonna be higher. You're gonna be like, look, you don't. Come on now, you boring as hell.
Right, exactly.
You gotta have more to offer than that. So if I fuck with anybody, I definitely leave them with
an impression.
Yes, bring the bar up.
See, that's a problem too. Like, you probably got a bunch of exes that's like still in love with you and hoping that you'll come home. He's strict.
They know I ain't coming home. I'm a Virgo, so.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
You're an earth sign. I'm a Taurus.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And she a Virgo.
Yeah, too. we don't spin the block.
One thing about earth signs, we do not see in the block. We do not
forget
anything.
I ever even knew your ass. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, we dated?
Yeah. Who are you?
Where do I know you from?
We lived together, Cameron.
5 years ago.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I don't really spin the block. Yeah, I don't spin the block. I'm not going to lie. In my 20s, I was definitely open to spinning the block. I think now it's like, I definitely feel like if we stop talking for a reason. But because I used to be I was a toxic.
No, you
girl.
Was a spin the block ass.
Spin
bitch.
The block because I used to love the just to know like yeah I can have this nigga if I want him. It was a young minded thing, but I think now it's just like hey, if we stop talking, that just means we're not meant to. That's not our path.
Yeah. So let's sometimes just it don't work, and I'm cool with it.
I definitely leave an impression, and it's like anybody that you fuck with afterwards, he's gonna have like a little complex.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
So I make sure I do that
on purpose.
Yeah.
Even if you know not gonna end up where.
Yeah, for sure. Because if you say my name, that nigga got to get irritated. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But then he's going to end up being like, I fuck with that nigga. That's why it irritates me so much.
But I feel like Don't show me an amazing time if you know I'm not finna, we're not finna end up together.
But are we not? I feel like that's what dating is. That we should have
an amazing time. No. But I say it like this. Don't be treating me like we're gonna be together forever. Cause I'm pretty sure people have, and I know this has happened to me. I've done this to people before. I treated a nigga like he was a king. He was my man. And like, you're not even boyfriend material, but this is just what's fun for right now. Mm. And I'm going to show you a good time.
Sometimes it be like that.
It do be like that.
I did a little summer fling. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes sense for the time being.
You got to separate the two.
When you're living your life, you just got to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
A little bit, but sometimes I feel like don't be making sweet, sweet love to me and then you leaving.
Why not?
I like to have a ball. Like, I don't care if it's not going to last forever. Show me a good time. Yeah. I think I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
For real.
I think it's me being that person and being a lover girl. Like, because in my 20s, I'll say, like, I broke a lot of hearts. And it was just, like, a lot. Like, at this point, I like to be left alone. So sometimes it'd be like a lot of niggas straggling around and doing all that. It's like, hey, it was what it was. That's why that nigga was like that. He didn't know he was ugly.
You seem like
he felt handsome for the first time in his life.
You seem like you don't let your guard down. And when you do, you like somebody really got to take you serious and shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's like you ain't going to be loving up on no nigga. You ain't going to be sending cute text messages. You ain't going to do none of that. But when you do.
Yeah, that's how I am.
It's got to be on a cracking like.
Yeah, like.
That's scary.
First of all, No.
He's
sending them text messages, period. They fall in love every three business days.
Oh, that's cool.
But what I'm saying is.
That's cool.
They don't know the difference between my real love and like, because I make people feel good. I'm a fire sign. Everybody. Literally, that's around me. They'd be like, damn, Lex really loved me. Did I? Or did I make you feel that way? So I think I make people feel that way because I like the passion. Everything is passionate with me. Everything is dramatic with me. Everything is drama. But I be knowing, this is not what it's given, but, you know, it's cool. But that's why I said, I can dish it, but I can't take it. Because I don't want somebody, don't be treating me like we about to get married and I really, really like you and it don't end up that way. Mm-hmm. That's when the problems start happening a little bit. But I'm definitely like, when I let that guard down, when you let them floodgates open, don't play with me. Don't play with me. Hearts. That shit get real. Okay, so we're going to move on. We got off topic. Okay, so now it's time
to get into the bow.
Ow.
The bow.
Bow.
The bow.
Bow.
Bow. Bow. Bow.
Bow. Bow. Okay, so y'all know me. I love a good love song, but this is not R&B this week. I have a song. I think how you pronounce his name is Hozier. He has a song called Work Song. And it's like the song that everybody be like walking down the aisle to. You know, when you have a cute little Valentine's Day set up. And it's like, I think he was really a poet before he started like making music. I don't know how true that is, but I think I just made that up in my head. But his music is literally poetry. I told y'all I love a song that has great lyrics. So my bop of the week is Hozier, Work Song. If you love good love songs, you gonna like that jam. What you been listening to, Drea?
Okay, so I have a song. My song is called, first of all, do you have Friday on your playlist? Because I feel like that's somebody you would really listen to.
I won't waste no time. Yeah. He ate that up. Beautiful video.
That is. It's a
great
song.
We met him. Remember we met him at the Philly festival we did? He was like, hey, y'all them girls.
We did meet him at Roots Picnic. Yep.
We all them girls. Hold up. Sorry.
We them girls.
Nah, for real.
That was a fun.
Sorry.
Nah,
that was
for
a
real.
Perfect comedy.
Okay. But what?
So Friday has a new song called Without You, and I really like it. Like, because I really like his voice. Like, to me, he has a very different and unique voice.
Yes.
And so this is like a very mellow song. So like it's something I would just listen to like while I'm cleaning up the house, like on a chill Sunday, a slow morning.
Okay.
But it's a good song. I really like it. Y'all should check it out.
Okay.
So what you been listening to, Wiz?
Man. Oh, fuck. I listen to old music.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I be listening to Cuban jazz and like African music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Cubans did jazz.
Yeah. I'll be listening to that type of shit, yeah.
So if you, like, get in the car and you got to, like, make a long drive, what album are you putting on?
Aquemini.
Okay.
From Outkast.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a throwback.
That's, yeah.
A real throwback. Yeah.
Did you listen to his flute album?
I didn't.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard it either, but I do want to listen either. To it. Yeah. You said you did?
No, I haven't, but I need to because gang, gang.
Nah, for real.
I used to play the flute.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's right up your
alley. Thanks.
You're going to be in there like.
Yeah. Don't make me pull my shit out. Oh, my God. I'm going to look up the sheet music.
She's going to be like.
Y'all didn't hear that?
No. I used to be, y'all laughing. I used to be kind of good. I was like second year.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
I don't like the way everybody up in this bitch laughing, though.
It was a
funny.
Good joke. It was a good joke.
I was serious.
I think you are a good flute player. It's in the lips. Okay. All right, so now we're going to get into our favorite segment of the week. Pour your heart out. If you want your question answered on the show, make sure you email us at askpoorminds@gmail.com. If you're a Patreon member, make sure you just put that in the subject and you get to skip the line. Do you give good advice?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. We about to see.
Advice. All right. Oh, we only got one today? Okay, that's cool. Okay. All right, I'll start with question number one. Oh, this is a long one. Okay, question number one. So I have a dilemma and I'm feeling conflicted. I have a friend that I've been friends with for literally 20 years. It hasn't been the smoothest ride. We've had multiple extended periods of not speaking due to misunderstandings and lack of communication. But somehow we always get back on track. Even though I know no friendship is perfect, I'm starting to ask myself if we've just had growing pains that we've gotten over or if I only re-enter the friendship every time because she's my longest friend. I evaluated all my relationships recently and I asked myself, if I met this person today, would I be friends with them? And for her, the answer was no. I've come to realize that this friend actually gets on my nerves and doesn't really add value to my life. Don't get me wrong, she's not a bad person at all and she has great intentions, which is why I show her grace, but her mentality, attitude, and decision making literally irritates me. I feel like I'm always having to be there for her because she always has drama going on and being her soundboard is exhausting. Outside of the occasional link up for drinks, I don't particularly enjoy being around her.
Damn.
I'm hesitant to cut her off because she's super sensitive and I know she wouldn't take it well. Do y'all believe in cutting people off who don't necessarily do anything wrong, but they just don't serve a purpose anymore? I'm scared to hurt her feelings, but I'm over her.
Damn.
Yeah.
God, that's crazy.
That was, damn.
I 100% support that.
What the fuck? Yes. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's like you're unhappy.
But that is crazy because she fed up with that bitch.
You hate super, that bitch.
She really knows. Like, she's got it down to a T. She's like, look, I only fuck with this bitch when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Lord knows I'm tired.
And I really don't even like her then.
She's like, fuck this hoe. You ain't got shit to
if
talk
you
about.
Yeah, if you got a
your
drink.
Your breath stank. Your hair nappy.
You make poor decisions.
And you ain't that cute.
You ain't that cute.
She said her decision making was bad. So.
But I think we as people need to understand, you change a lot. If you're a person that is spiritual, you know, you have a strong mentality, and you're going to grow and change so much. Like, I'm not even the same person I was 6 months ago. I say this all the time.
Right.
So if you're constantly growing and you're a person who enjoys growth, you have to surround yourself with people like that. Mm-hmm. So me being somebody that grows a lot, I like to surround myself with people who grow a lot. So if I do see somebody and you kind of lacking and slacking in the areas that I feel like you should be growing in, then I really kind of don't want you around. It ain't no bad blood, but if I'm going left and you going right, what do we have to talk about? You know what I'm saying? So I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, cutting somebody off if, like, y'all don't have anything in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's cool to cut people off if they don't serve no purpose.
Yeah.
If you don't align, and like you said, sometimes you be on a different wave when you get to a certain age. So shit that was cool before isn't cool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people try to, like, live in the past and just keep redoing shit. And if you're, you know, one of those people who's moving forward, and, you know, it's just all about being aware of what you want to do and who you want to be your friends. And if you find yourself forcing yourself to be somebody's friend as opposed to it working out for you, y'all having common interests, y'all glowing up together.
Right.
And you're just, you know, being this person's friend just because you feel bad. Or,
right.
You know what I mean? Or you don't want to hurt their feelings and shit like that. You know, like, that's kind of their hold on you as a friend. Mm-hmm. And they know they have that hold on you. They're like,
right.
They'll never let me go because they feel bad or they're always going to, you know, want to do this for me or do that for me. So you just got to really be strong and, like, level up. And then that's when the shit around you is going to change when you cut those ties.
I agree. I think it's completely okay to outgrow people.
Yeah.
People sometimes, like, in life, and it sounds so cliche, but it's like some people are here forever and some people are here for seasons. Like, it's okay to outgrow somebody, and you shouldn't feel bad about the fact that y'all interests don't align anymore.
Agreed.
Y'all can go y'all separate ways. It doesn't have to be like a bad situation. Like, you could have a conversation with her and let her know I fully support ghosting myself, but you know, because sometimes you don't really owe people an explanation. Y'all just grown apart. Y'all can start talking less.
It's not even worth the argument.
Yeah. Man.
9 times out of 10, they was gonna call you a bitch ass nigga anyway.
Right. They was gonna be like, bitch, you don't be doing shit neither.
Let's get it out the way.
Like, you ain't growing neither.
Yeah. I mean, she probably already knows and feels that energy. So it's like you doing her a disservice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just cut that. It ain't nothing to cut that, man.
Yeah, I just think go ahead. Let it be what it is.
All right, question number two.
So question number two. Hey ladies, love y'all in the podcast, but let's get into it because this is long. LOL. I'm 25 and I'm currently in school to obtain my doctorate degree. I got my education, but my first dream was starting a family and being a stay-at-home mom and wife. I have only been in 2 real relationships. I'm currently living with my boyfriend who does pay all of the bills and provides. However, I have recently abandoned the idea of having a family and believing in true love because in my head, no man truly wants just one woman. I left my ex for cheating on me 1 time. Yes, it's very strict in this bitch. And I've caught my current boyfriend trying to entertain other women in the past, DMing, texting, and yes, I do check that phone. He claims that he has changed and wants it all with me, but it's hard for me to trust him. I know that I'm an attractive woman and can get anyone that I want, but I'm a lover girl at heart, and I just want a faithful and honest partner. Am I just young with little experience and letting a few bad apples ruin things for me? Or is it true that you have to choose the lesser evils when it comes to being with a man? I'm willing to play delusional and act as if ignorance is bliss for the time being, but I refuse to bring a child into this world unless there is pure, genuine love with one man that I can 100% depend on.
When you go through somebody's phone, you looking for trouble.
You don't trust him either.
You don't trust him either. Like, a relationship is nothing without trust, because I've been there, and it's miserable. Because it's like every time this person does something, you think they're up to no good. When you trust the man, like, you don't even want to go through his phone. So it's like, that's a sign that this is not your person. Now, we have said this before. As I get older, I do believe there are men who want to be with one person. You know, like, you can't put that thought process on all men. I don't like to categorize people. Is it going to be hard to find? You know, maybe so, maybe not. But I think it's worth it in the journey of things, because love is a beautiful thing to experience. Mm-hmm. So if that matters to you and that's what you want, like, you can have anything you want out of this life. I truly believe that. So if you really want a man that's only about you, you can have that. So it's like, why stay with this person if you want to be with somebody who's going to be 100% about you? You can find that. So I think even you being in a relationship and having to go through a nigga phone and XYZ, that's miserable. So you gonna settle for that and you gonna go through this nigga phone for the rest of your life?
Right.
That's crazy to me.
What you think?
I can't speak on it from a woman's perspective because I'm not a woman. And I can see how difficult it could be, because me being who I am, I get what I get, but that's just a regular chick talking about a regular nigga.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens every day. So for me, I just know I've been in relationships where I haven't cheated and I've been able to keep it solid. And it just depends on how you choose and how you're moving. I also know it takes a long time for men to, you know, really figure that shit out.
Right.
And that grace period isn't really there, because as soon as you hit adulthood, it's like, nigga, we need to settle down, and mm-hmm. this is the last vagina that you're gonna have for the rest of your life. And a lot of niggas ain't trying to sign up for that.
Right, right.
You know, it's not as easy to sign up for as it sounds. So, you know, it takes a couple years for niggas to, you know, surface a few more vaginas and figure it out. And then a lot of women, you know, they figure out if they want to deal with, you know, niggas who cheat or niggas who lie or niggas who aren't faithful, or if they want to wait the amount of time that it takes for a man to fully mature. Or like you said, there are some men who don't cheat, but they might not be in the other areas that they want. You know?
Right.
They might not be a protector. They might not be a provider. They might not be, You know what I mean? So it's a crazy fucked up ass, you know, dynamic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody who is responsible is just, you know, they just living their life. And for a woman, the best thing is to choose what you want to deal with.
Yeah.
I always like say that
you can find it. You just got to choose what you want to deal with.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like you have to figure out what works for you. Because mm-hmm. I feel like people have this, the problem with a lot of people, and I'm realizing that as I get older, I'm just coming to this realization, like people think that you're going to have like this fairy tale love story
yeah.
that we all read about or we seen in Disney movies and shit. And in reality, like, no, shit don't really be like that. It's always going to be something.
Right.
Whoever you choose to be with, it's always going to be something that you might not, that it's like you might not want this thing, or you might not want to have to deal with it, but you like they check off all the other boxes, so this one thing is okay. So I think as a woman, you have to ask yourself, what are you okay with dealing with?
That's
and once you figure that out, then it'll be easier to narrow down what type of man you want to be with, because trust is important. And if you feel like you have to look through a nigga DMs and look through his text messages and check his phone and all that when he haven't did anything to make you feel like you needed to do that, because from what I read, he hasn't done anything to make you feel that way. You just wanted to check, and then you seen him messaging other girls or whatever. So it's like you already didn't trust him. So I think you have to figure out what you're okay with and go from there. But you also need to realize trust is an important factor, because you always going to find something wrong if you look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to the boxes thing you were saying, I always say, like, if somebody can check off 8 majority. Out of 10 of your boxes, you winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like, you're going to have to bend a little on something, certain things. But, like, if you make a list of what's most important and what's not, if they missing them last two boxes, like, you know, you winning.
Yeah.
Nobody is perfect. You know what I'm saying? So, good luck, sis. But going through people's phone, that ain't it.
I agree. So, yes, Wiz, we want you to tell everybody where they can find you. Yeah. But first, before that, I kind of wanted you to talk a little bit about, because I know you're really, like, heavy in the cannabis business.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted you to kind of touch on that and, like, your business. And
yeah. All right. Well, the cannabis business is growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming more worldwide accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a global thing.
Yeah.
And just the way that people look at weed now is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Even you'll see me, like, I still smoke on camera, but I don't smoke as much on camera
mm-hmm.
because it's a more corporate thing of, like, being high and being stoned. And, like, it's moving towards advertisements. It's moving towards making other people money.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be looked at, like, the other products.
Okay.
Things like that. So with monetizing, with social media, with everything that pushes, you know, people's brands, it's just merging the marijuana into mm-hmm. it. And everybody already is down with the lifestyle, but they're starting to see the medicinal benefits of it. They're starting to see the social benefits of it. They're starting to see that crime is dropping. They're starting to see that less deaths from drunk drivers mm-hmm. are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things that are like physical numbers that come with the cannabis business are helping to change it, as well as me being the face of it, having my own company, which is Khalifa Kush,
mm-hmm.
and owning, you know, a menu of strains and being able to put them in Thailand, being able to put them in Africa, China. We're moving to Germany. We're going to be in Dubai when they do their thing. Okay?
That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah, so as the laws change and as it becomes more widely accepted, you'll just see, you know, the way that people receive it a little bit differently. And me and my partners have been on the forefront of it for, like, you know, the past 10, 15 years. Burner been in it before me, but Burner was the one who really put me on.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next 5 years, you're just going to see it keep growing.
I agree. Like, yeah. Things are definitely changing. Because, I mean, even here in the States, like, it's so many states that it's legal now.
Yeah.
Man, I went to Amsterdam. I was high for, like, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was so crazy because they had the coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
And you just walk in. Get your weed, go to a bar, you literally just sit at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like even like their setup, like I can see that happening here, like eventually.
For sure.
Even places like, you know, Georgia, which they're like totally against weed.
Yeah.
It's gonna flip like this.
Oh, for sure.
And then you'll see in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
you know, little bars where you mm-hmm. smoke weed and chill. You'd be like, damn, this is exactly what the fuck we was talking about.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, it was lit. Yeah. Like, just being able to walk in, mm-hmm. it was a good time.
They make tea, and there's all types of different things. There's a whole business behind it. that in the legal areas, it's booming. Mm-hmm. In areas that it's not legal, they still, you know, frown upon it.
And per usual, the South, we the last to catch on. Yeah. It's all good. Here, Texas.
I love the South. We're in Florida right now, which was a big move.
Mm-hmm. You live in Florida now?
No, the Khalifa.
Oh, the company. Yeah. Okay.
The company's in Florida. So, but yeah, it's just one place at a time. And whatever the benefits that they see that makes them change their mind, it just happens throughout time.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Okay. So let us know as far as like music and all that stuff, what you got going on.
I got a new album coming out next month. It's March now, so in April.
Okay.
I'm going to drop Cushion Oranges 2.
Oh, okay. We ready for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
People been asking for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. And I'm independent, so I'm doing everything. It's all Taylor Gang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just my opportunity to just start back where I left off.
Yeah.
So I'm putting the finishing touches on that, and I'm going to drop it in April.
Okay.
And I'm going to be doing a lot of festivals. I'm performing at Stagecoach this year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is right after Coachella. So if anybody goes to Coachella and they still want to come see me, y'all could get the Stagecoach tickets. It's going to be smacking.
Okay.
I'm going to be all over the world. I'm on TikTok now.
Not you be TikTok. Like a motherfucker. I see you.
Yeah, TikTok is cracking, y'all.
Yeah. I be trying to learn a little one too.
Yeah.
But I fuck with TikTok heavy. So I'm on there.
Okay.
Doing my little skits and my little content. Yeah, and it's all just gonna come together. I just feel like being in the game for the amount of years that I have.
Yeah.
I have the chance to introduce myself to a whole new fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting to me because when I first introduced myself, that was one of my favorite times of my career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So being able to reintroduce myself, I feel like I'm going to have a real good time.
Yeah, it's fun. And that's what we were talking about that the other day, like how Usher just like he's kind of like reinvented himself.
For sure.
And he's like, because that's why I said like the music industry is lacking. Like we need to bring our people back so y'all can show these youngins what the fuck some good music. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now I do have one more question before we get out of here. Are you gonna work with Juicy J again? Because you and Juicy J together is like strip club anthem.
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all make magic together.
Yeah, Juicy, my brother. We definitely gonna do another album.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, that's what I'm.
He's a phone call away. It really just takes me getting in the studio with him because he always cooking up.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we just gotta link up. And Ty's Taylor Gang too.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing with Ye. We're super proud and super happy with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
On number one. And the music that they're creating is really, really good.
Yes.
So, you know, we still got the brand and the gang out there doing our thing. It's just the crowd has changed.
Yeah.
Music moves fast. I look at it like sports. If you're on a team for 10 years, bro, nobody knows who the hell you are.
Right.
But in music, we have the opportunity to, you know, recreate and, you know, just reintroduce ourselves over and over and over again. Even like, you know, we have an advantage on movie stars, whatever it is, because some of them, they don't even fucking, you don't even know them till they're in their 50s.
Right. Exactly.
But you see a lot of my peers, we started in our teens, made it through our 20s, we're in our 30s now, and we're going to still keep doing it because we have examples in front of us like Snoop, like Hove, like Wayne, like, you know, the people who made their name and are still, like, reaching back and,
right.
and giving back and doing shit for the young niggas. So it's fun. It's a good time. It's a fun time. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I be talking shit on Twitter still. I'm on YouTube. I'm always doing videos and shit on there.
Yeah.
I have my series Day to Day that I started on YouTube a long time ago, but I sold it to a streaming company.
Oh, that's
so, the next season is going to be on streaming services. So we're about to start shooting that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, writing some movies. Me and Kid Cudi been talking about doing some movies.
Oh my God, Intergalactic.
It was really good.
That is like my favorite movie. Yeah. Like
Alex love that movie.
I ran that movie in the ground.
Mm-hmm. He's got some really good ideas.
Oh my God, it was so dope.
Yeah, so.
So I'm excited to see that y'all working on.
It's gonna be fun.
Is there like a artist that's like in the new generation, like young people that you want to work with?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Anybody and everybody. I usually just DM them, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if I hear their music, I'll just be hitting them up. Or I'll get their beat and rap over it. They'll be like, oh, good luck, OG. Yeah. But, like, producer-wise, I want to work with Timbaland.
Okay.
And I want to work with Swizz Beatz.
Okay.
Yeah. When y'all hear that shit,
I'm gonna be ready.
Crazy.
Oh, we ready for it.
It's gonna be sick.
I'm excited. Well, thank you so much for sitting. This was so much fun.
Y'all have fun too. Thank you guys.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
So y'all make sure y'all come back next week. We'll see y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
All right, y'all ready? We got Wiz and the highlights in this motherfucker.
Period.
Y'all ready to set the mood?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
I like that. Y'all, this our jam. Hey.
Oh, you was ready.
I'm just ad-libbing.
Yeah.
7 o'clock on a dot. I'm in my trap top cruising the streets.
Here we go.
Yeah, talking about him. It's 7 o'clock
on the dot. I'm in my drop top cruising the streets.
Oh yeah.
I got a real pretty little thing that's waiting for me.
Ooh.
I pull up anticipating good love. Don't keep me waiting. I got plans to put my hands in places I've never seen, girl, you know what I mean. Now let me take you to a place that's nice and quiet, where there ain't no one there to interrupt.
Ain't got a rush.
I just wanna take it nice and slow.
Now baby, tell me what you wanna do with me.
See, I've been waiting for this for so long. We're making love until the sun comes up. Baby, I just wanna take it nice and slow. Baby, tell me what you wanna do.
Now here we are,
driving around town, contemplating where I'm gonna take you down. Girl, you got me saying, my. I wish that I could pull over and get this thing started right now. I wanna do something freaky to you, baby.
I don't think they heard me. I
wanna do something freaky to you, baby. So call out my name. They call me USHERRAYMOND. Now, baby, tell me what you want to do with me. Got a nigga feeling like Jodeci. Every time that you roll with me, hold me, try to take control. Let me nice and slowly. You know, never letting go, never messing up the flow.
That's how the hook go. Come on.
To a place that's nice and quiet.
Well, there ain't no one that's to interrupt. Ain't got a rush. I just want to take it nice and slow. Baby, tell me what you want to do with me.
Been waiting for this for so long.
So long.
Making love until the sun comes up. Baby, I just want
to take it nice and slow.
Period.
Now tell me.
Now tell me.
Do you want to get freaky? Cause I'll freak you right, I will. I'll freak you right, I will. I'll freak you like no one has ever made you feel. I'll freak you right, I will. I'll freak you right, I will. I'll freak you like no one has ever made you feel, yeah.
You hit the hell. Shout out to Wiz and the highlights.
That was fun.
We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you.
Ho ass niggas. Period.